Good morning. I've always believed that the children's sermon is the sermon that the children give to the rest of us. And I'm glad that they can do that today. And I'm glad to see such knowledgeable and eager future gardeners, and it sounds like present gardeners, at work amongst the children. That's wonderful. My name is Chuck Maxfield. I'm a member of this church, although I have not always been here that often. Since moving to Lansdale 14 years ago, I was interim pastor in Skipack for a year, and then settled pastor at Fort Washington for 5 years, and then I retired when I turned 70. And since then, I've been interim pastor at St. John Hill near Boyertown for 2.5 years, and then at Limerick for a year. And now I've retired again, and just do supply preaching here and there, and when I'm not somewhere else, I'm here. And I'm glad to be here this day. We live just 2 blocks away at the corner of Durstine and Mitchell, and we enjoy our home there. It's besides our home, it's sometimes an Airbnb, as it will be this evening when some people come and stay with us, and sometimes we give the whole house for it. And my wife's architectural business takes place in our basement, where currently she has 3 people employed who gather together and do their architecting in our basement. And we like to have lunch on the back porch when we can. And this past week, we were able to get out there finally and enjoy a meal on the back porch, which is very enjoyable. One day after after going out to the back porch for our lunch, I wrote down some of my thoughts about it, which I'd like to share with you now. Connie and I sit down at the picnic table on our back porch, our lunch before us. We hold hands for our silent prayer. I bow my head and close my eyes. No, I can't do this. I can't close my eyes to pray. I open my eyes. I see the hedge of yews around our backyard. I look at the birds of many colors fluttering in and out from the yews. And I give thanks to God for the beauty that surrounds us. I see the squirrels scampering about the lawn and a bunny rabbit cautiously hopping around my garden. And I give thanks for God, for all of life. I see the roses in bloom at the gateway to my garden, and I know all of the good stuff that's growing out there. And I give thanks to God that I can be a co-creator with God of life. I look at the blue sky. I know that the sky is not really blue. The astronauts in space see only black. The blue I see is our atmosphere, that miraculous thin layer of gases around the earth that makes all life possible. And I give thanks to God for this wonderful, awesome miracle. I turn my head and see this wonderful person beside me who puts up with my peculiarities and always loves me and who enriches our life together with her spirit and wisdom. And I give thanks to God for the gift of human love. No, sometimes I can't pray with my eyes shut. I open them, and my heart is filled with the awesomeness, the generosity, the kindness, and the wisdom of God. And I give thanks. I suspect that all of us have times when, with our eyes open, we look around us and see the beauty around us, the glory of God's blessings all around us, and from our heart rises prayers of thanks, whether spoken or unspoken. This is Earth Day Sunday. Yesterday was Earth Day, and I think it's a time for us to look around and look at the scriptures and look at our faith to understand how we relate to the creation in which we live. When we look around us at the daffodils in blossom, the forsythia, the tulips coming up, and all the beautiful trees that are flourishing with their blossoms, tulip trees, red buds, magnolias, I don't think they're out yet, but the others, and see the beauty of this earth. Really, we are living in Eden. The scriptures talk about Eden as if it was at a certain place at a certain time. And that's helpful to do, just as we look at creation as if it just happened once upon a time back then, when creation is going on and happening all the time too. No, we live in Eden. And the scriptures use the word dominion, that we have dominion over all of the created things, that God has appointed us humans to have that. And it's unfortunate that that word is often misunderstood or maybe has come to mean something that is not meant by the scripture writers. All belongs to God. It is God who has dominion. And we are the stewards for that creation, accountable to God for what we do with God's earth. We are not the only creatures that God loves. And as stewards and co-creators with God, we care for all of the creation that God loves. And we are called to love what God loves. There's not a lot in the Bible about our relationship with creation, because it was not so much an issue in those days. Jesus did not have a gas-powered car to go travel with. He went on foot or in boat. And the people lived much closer to nature than sometimes we do today. But the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So the psalmist writes, and the psalms are filled with glory to God because of the wonderful, beautiful creation that we see praising God all around us. There's a scripture that talks about the leaves of the trees clapping their hands in praise to God. And if we can just look around and imagine that all the beauty that is coming from the trees and all the world around us is expressing praise to that God who has made us all. Our stewardship of the earth has not always been good. When we do something that disrupts the balance of nature, we see its ripple effects in other places all around us. And we do pollute the earth in which we live, not only with trash, as the children mentioned, on the roadside, but in so many other ways, cause harm to the earth in which we live. And global warming, climate change, is something that we're made aware of these days. Now, we have to keep in mind that climate and weather are two different things. Climate is kind of the accumulation of our weather. Certainly, we had an unusual winter, open winter, and a warm winter. But one winter doesn't make climate change. But when we realize since 1880 in Philadelphia, 9 of the 10 warmest years have been since 2005, and 5 of them since 2015. It's not so visible to us or noticeable to us because it comes so gradually and intermittently. But the world is changing, it is warming, and we are responsible for that. And we need to understand how to deal with that. If we are stewards of this earth in which we have been entrusted to care for. Let's talk about sin. We know, we believe it exists, and we're not for it. But it's a reality in us and in the world in which we live, and how we understand that. The world in which we live is broken. The harmony of Eden has been disrupted, and we cannot fix it by ourselves. God came to us in Jesus Christ to heal, not only heal individuals, but to heal a broken world, to heal our relationship with God, to heal our relationships with one another, and to heal our relationship with creation. We often talk about sin as if it's always an act of volition, something we do or don't do. There's an old prayer of confession that goes, we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and we have not done those things which we ought to have done. And that's a big part of what we mean by sin, the choices we make. But sometimes, some of the brokenness of this world we participate in, but not by choice. Because all of us are interrelated, and because of the interrelationship of our economy, of our lives, and our society, there is brokenness that exists, which we become part of, not by choice, but because of the world in which we live. Now, I'm a historian, and so I'm going to talk about history. Harriet Beecher Stowe, who wrote a book, Uncle Tom's Cabin, was trying to understand the nature of this sin. And in the 1840s, she and her brother, Edward Beecher, and her husband, Calvin Stowe, talked about what they called organic sin. We might call it systemic sin. And they were looking at the problem of slavery at that time and said, not all slaveholders are bad people, something that Harriet tried to express in her book. But we are all part of a system which is evil. And even though someone might intend the best and deal honorably in their personal relationships, they're all part of a system which does great harm and somehow have trouble escaping from it. And in a sense, in that day, all the people who worked in the textile mills in the North were involved in the economy of slavery as they took the cotton, which was grown by slave labor, to turn into clothing. And all who wore cotton cloth at that time were participants in the system of slavery because they were part of an economic system which was grounded on slave labor in the South. They were part of a system, of an interconnectedness that we all have. And it was founded on slavery, and individuals by their own wills cannot get rid of it all. Individual conversion is not enough. The system had to change, and that change of the system required political action and led to a bloody civil war, which finally did bring an end to the institution of slavery. And yet injustices and related to racism still linger and still need to be addressed, not only as individuals, but as a society. Now let's look at the environment and the crisis we have today because of the environment. There are things that we can do personally, individually, to make our world a better, healthier place. But we are involved in an economy and a society developed in a certain way, and we cannot entirely extract ourselves from that. And so we need to act not only as individuals, but as a society to bring about the changes that are needed to be made. For example, for over 70 years, our cities have spread out in a suburban sprawl on the assumption that we will have petroleum-powered automobiles to do everything. And so, as we spread out, we're assuming that we're using this vehicle to go to work, to go to church, to go shopping, to do everything that we do, because of the way that the suburbs have spread out. And it's difficult to make the changes, to where we would connect by mass transit or by bicycle to be able to connect in other ways. I think it's a good sign that we see here in the borough of Lansdale more apartments going up, putting people living closer to the train station and more able to access work and all of the amenities of a community without having to jump into their car. We can't make changes overnight, but we can do what is in our power to do. And when we do what is in our power to do, it reminds us of the need to care for the earth, the sanctity, the importance of the earth in which we live, and to pursue that more fully. In the scriptures, we find a pattern which we are called to follow. We are to repent of our sin, even those sins that we did not commit ourselves, but we are a part of. And we receive forgiveness and grace from God. And as a result of that grace, we are empowered to live grace, to live active lives, different and shaped by the grace of God and the wisdom of God and the compassion of God, to live as God would have us to do. So what can we do about the environment in which we live? Well, let me share some things that Connie and I do. Perhaps you do some of them. Perhaps there's some that you could do more. And then let me share also some things we have not done yet that perhaps you may be doing. Reusable shopping bags. About 11 years ago, we decided that for Lent, we would give up plastic bags. It seemed to be a sensible spiritual discipline for the season of Lent to give up something, make a sacrifice in a way that would be pleasing to God and make this world a better place in which to live. And pushing to it, I had some interesting conversations with store clerks from time to time as I explained, no, we don't want plastic bags, we gave it up for Lent. Once you do that for 6 weeks, you can keep doing it and not have to go back to that pattern that we used before, because those bags end up everywhere. We see them on the roadside. We know that they're in the ocean, that in the middles of our oceans there are islands of garbage, large part plastic bags. 5 trillion plastic bags invented every year. And we can do something about that. It's good when you can take the plastic bags and take them to a grocery store where you can recycle them. I think something like 9% of plastic bags are recycled in that way. And then what happens to them? Quite frankly, what happens to them depends on the market, on the profitability of whether or not they can be turned into something useful again or thrown into the landfill. And certainly people have good intentions and seek to find ways to recycle them, but it is not done completely. And we can ride bicycles. Now, as a kid, I did not learn to ride a bicycle, probably because I lived on Route 6, the main road at the time between New York City and Cape Cod. It was kind of scary to go out there. And so I didn't learn. But when I met Connie, whom I married, and at the age of 63, I learned how to ride a bicycle because she's a bike rider, and I knew if I was going to have a relationship with her, I better learn. And when we Americans get into a car, 50% of the time, our destination is within 3 miles, quite often even within 2 miles. And is it really necessary for us to get into a car to do errands locally that we could do on foot or in a bicycle? And if you're worried about vertigo or using your balance, there are such things as three-wheeled bikes too. We tallied it up and found that in the past year, We have gone to 66 destinations on bicycle within 3 miles, and some of those every week, to go to restaurants, to do grocery shopping, go to the drugstore, go to the bank, do other shopping, go to farmer's market, come to church. We can do all those things on a bicycle. And that puts less carbon into the atmosphere. Lansdale is the right kind, right size of a community for us to be able to do this. And there are some who are able to commute to work on bicycle or else ride a bicycle to the train station and from there commute to work or whatever they're doing in the city. It's good for the atmosphere, good for our health, and good for our local economy that the local businesses in Main Street around the downtown area can thrive because we come there rather than getting in a car and going out to the highway to do something. This year we put solar panels on our house. Yes, it was quite a project, and there is expense to it. We are going to enjoy our abundant tax refund that we get this year because of that. And this past month, our electric bill was $30, which for a three-story house with a basement with people working in it, I think is doing pretty well. Yes, we do compost and do that for the garden, where we grow our vegetables as the children understand and hopefully will learn to grow themselves as they get older. And we have vegetables and food that is fresher and a better quality than what we get in the store. And no gas is used to transport them from the garden to our table. We don't put any poisons into our air. No herbicides or pesticides. And we know that the birds who are flying out of our ewes to fly over our garden are very happy that we don't have those poisons in there as they come down to eat the insects that are in my garden. And yes, I hang out the laundry and know the fresh air and the feeling and the smell of the freshness in our clothes as well. All things that we can do, and many things that you can do as well. And not only are they helping the environment, they are reminding us of our responsibility to care for that and the goodness of God in providing us such a beautiful world in which we can care. Now, frankly, there are things we haven't done yet that we hope someday we can do. We haven't planted trees to replace those that we had to cut down, and we hope to do that sometime. We are trying to figure out how to heat our house totally by electric, or it's only partly now, and that's a complicated process in our house. And we envy those who have electric cars and hope that someday the price gets to where we can afford one and become part of that community too. You can do something. And as a church, we can do things as well. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We can be Christ's instruments in his healing ministry in our relationship with God, our neighbor, and creation. We are called to repent of the things we have done that are hurtful and receive the forgiveness and the grace of God who always loves and cares for us, and empowered by that grace to act for the good of all of creation. May it be so.